Learning Sefer Tilim with the commentary by Imam Loez by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 7. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 14, Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Atzas Oni Tzavishu Hi Hashem Achsehu. You shame the counsel of the poor and helpless, for Hashem is his refuge. You humiliate and you ridicule the Jewish people for their trust in Hashem, for having sought their refuge in him. A subtle reading yields the interpretation. The pauper takes counsel within his heart. He makes up his mind to go beg for pennies, but the people refuse to give him anything. May Hashem give you, they say to him. By this advice of theirs, that is, that Hashem be his refuge, they shame the counsel of the poor. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Mi yitei mitzion yishuas Yisrael, b'shuv Hashem, shavus amo yogel Yaakov yismach Yisrael. O that the deliverance of Israel might come out of Zion. When Hashem turns back the captivity of his people, Yaakov will rejoice, Israel will be glad. The singer cries out, "Oh, that the deliverance of Israel might come out of Zion!" Then all those who oppose them will recognize the great merit and perfection of the counsel of the poor, Israel, namely that Hashem is his refuge. They will then go about shamefaced for having ridiculed Israel earlier. It is indicated that the deliverance of Israel will come about out of perfection, Zion. That is on account of their righteous deeds. Similarly, the scripture says, Hashem will support you out of Zion, that is due to the good deeds within you. However, even when Hashem turns back the captivity of his people, rather than on account of your merit, then too, Yaakov will rejoice, Israel will be glad, as it says, when Hashem brought back those who returned to Zion. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Pointed out that David offers a prayer for the redemption to come at a time when the generation is wholly meritorious, that is due to the righteous deeds of the people. Then it will be marked by gladness and joy. But if it comes when the generation is wholly guilty, then many will be punished. Thus he says, "Oh, that the deliverance of Israel might come out of Zion." For when Hashem turns back the captivity of his people, Yaakov will rejoice, Israel will be glad. The process of redemption will then itself be a time of gladness and rejoicing for Israel. The Medrash teaches that all the blessings and consolations and good things that Hashem bestows upon the Jewish people are all from Zion. Torah is from Zion, blessing is from Zion, feasting is from Zion, greatness is from Zion, and salvation is from Zion. Now we go to Perek Tesvah, Perek 15. Pasuk 1. Mizmor le David Hashem mi yogu ba'alecho mi yishkon bahar kochecho. A psalm of David, Lord, who will sojourn in your tent and tabernacle? Who will dwell upon the mountain of your sanctuary? Having rebuked and condemned the workers of iniquity in the previous psalm, and proclaimed that Hashem extends his protective supervision over the righteous man in every generation, the singer now depicts the virtues of this righteous man. Moreover, his intention is to contrast the villain and the tzaddik, who is complete in many perfections of character and good works and faith in Hashem. David saying, "Oh, that the deliverance of Israel might come out of Zion." Now he says that even when the Jewish people are in exile and there is no more Beis HaMikdash below, they can come into possession of the Beis HaMikdash on high through good works and by adhering to the true principles of faith. Accordingly, he goes on to list all the fine virtues, but does not speak of sacrificial offerings or of mitzvahs that can only be kept in the land of Eretz Yisrael. What are the virtues of the perfected man whereby he merits to behold the splendor of Hashem and to visit early in his temple? According to our Chachamim, our sages, and the 11 things listed in the present psalm are encompassed all the 613 mitzvahs. It was not, however, David's intention to change or take away from the actual number of mitzvahs, but to teach sense to the people. should they object that there are far too many mitzvahs in the Torah and they cannot all be kept, they can be told to perfect themselves in these 11 perfections. Then they will easily be able to keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah by faithfully and zealously adhering to these great branches of the tree of life, that is the Torah. He will then also come to all the little branches that are drawn after the large branches. Indeed, it is pointed out that this psalm encompasses most aspects of the Torah. Thus, he that walks uprightly includes a number of negative commandments prohibiting sorcery, charming, consulting a ghost or familiar spirit. As it says in Chumash Devarim, you will be wholehearted with Hashem your God. In a more directly physical sense, this also refers to the prohibition to misuse the reproductive organs. Thus, tamim here means physically complete. Acts justly encompasses all the positive mitzvahs of the Torah, while speaks truth in his heart, specifically includes the mitzvahs that have fulfilled true thought. He that does not slander with his tongue refers to the prohibitions related to speech, nor does evil to his fellow, applies to almost the entire Torah, because as Hillel said, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. It includes all the commandments that are between man and man. The laws of oaths and pledges are encompassed in the pasuk. He that swears and even to his own hurt does not change. The law pertaining to the prohibition of usury of interest is spelled out in pasuk 5. While the laws of judges and the laws to honor parents and Torah sages are included in this pasuk, in whose eyes a vile man is despised, but he honors them that fears Hashem. Then we have, who will sojourn in your tent? To sojourn, yagur, means to take up temporary residence. Compared to the everlasting life in the world to come, our life here is a temporary affair. Who will dwell upon the mountain of your sanctuary refers to the life in the world to come. Hence the term Yishkon, will dwell permanently. This world is called a tent because the heavens envelope the earth and everything in it like a tent. As it says, he stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Then again, all things that are above the heavens are called a mountain, just as actual mountains are higher than flatlands. And it is not possible to attain to the world to come if one opts instead for the good life of this world. He says, who will sojourn in your tent? Who will dwell upon the mountain of your sanctuary? That is to say, David makes it clear that there must be no contradiction between the life of this world and the life in the world to come, which requires that one make this world like a temporary tent and the world to come like a mountain. Another reason that the Torah calls the lofty plane of existence the mountain of your sanctuary is that anyone who wants to reach that high level must climb and continue to climb towards the high mountain. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2, Hoylech Tamim Ufoyel Tzedek Edoiver Emes Bilbavu. He that walks uprightly and acts justly and speaks truth in his heart. He that walks uprightly in his views and beliefs contrasts with the way of those thinkers who keep changing their views, one stepping here and then stepping there. Similarly, it says, I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. That's found later on in Tehillim. David speaks first about perfecting one's views, which is the foundation for perfecting one's virtues. And acts justly pertains to perfection of one's deeds by practicing the virtues of visiting the sick, burying the dead, giving charity to the poor and the destitute, and so forth. The third perfection is the perfection of speech, and speaks truth in his heart. He does not say one thing with the mouth while thinking something else with the heart. In contrast with the villain, which we learned in the previous chapter, who follows the path of philosophical inquiry, this man walks uprightly. Nor does the villain do what is right, act justly, and he does not speak truth in his heart. Rather, he has said in his heart, there is no God. He walks uprightly in that he does not lust for anything beyond what he already has, so he lacks nothing. He acts justly. He's not simply content with his own just deeds, but acts to cause others to be just in their deeds. He speaks truth in his heart before uttering the truth with his lips. More, he ponders carefully whether to say what he thinks, even if it's the truth. For at times, by speaking the truth, one can cause anguish to another person. Another interpretation says, when a person speaks truth in his heart, an angel is appointed to watch over him, that he should also speak the truth with his mouth. Concerning speaks the truth in his heart, our sages relate the following episode involving Rav Safra. One day he offered a donkey for sale, and a buyer came just when he was reciting the Shema, and interruptions are not permitted. The would-be buyer offered the price, but received no response to his offer. Assuming that Rav Safra's silence meant that he asked a higher price, he upped his bid, but still received no response. Finally, when Rav Safra concluded the Shema, he said to the man, "I had already accepted to sell to you for the first sum that you mentioned, and I will not take any more." A story. Once Rav Safra went for a stroll beyond the city together with the students, and there met a pious man who was coming from far away. He thought that Rav Safra had come out specially to welcome him, so he protested, "Why has my master so exerted himself?" said Rav Safra. "It was not my intention to come to greet you. I only came out for a stroll." The pious man was embarrassed. Later, his disciple said to Rav Safra, "Why did you speak to him as you did?" He answered, "To do otherwise would have been a lie." But they persisted, "You should have kept silence." He said to them, "Had I been silent, I would not have fulfilled of the words, 'He speaks truth in his heart.'" Now, the word po'el is also read literally as a noun meaning a worker. Accordingly, the pasuk is interpreted as follows: "He acts justly and speaks truth in his heart." It is usual for people who work for a living to expect others to provide for the poor. "Had I the means," they say, "I would give him such and such a sum." In this case, the man is not exaggerating, but speaks the truth. The singer, referring to David Melech, mentions three kinds of virtues. One pertains to matters that are between a man and his maker, where he walks uprightly. As the pasuk says in Chumash Devarim, "You will be wholehearted with Hashem your God." And two, when a man acts justly and charitably in matters between one man and another. Three, he speaks truth in his heart. This pertains to matters between a man and himself. From when one does not match his words to his thoughts, he commits a falsehood in his soul, and his conduct is unjust in relation to himself. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Le'rogal al-lishono lo'osel re'ehu rov echerpe le'noso al-kroive. He that does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his fellow, nor borne reproach upon his fellow. In the previous pasuk, David mentioned three positive virtues of the perfected man in the realm of action. Now he continues with three corresponding evils that this perfected man has avoided. Corresponding to "he speaks truth in his heart," he says, "He does not slander with his tongue." Corresponding to "he acts justly," he says, "Nor borne reproach upon his fellows." The righteous man has not acted cunningly towards those close to him, whether relative or friend. In the first pasuk of this paragraph, it says, "Who will sojourn in your tent?" David asks, "Hashem." The Holy Spirit in him answers, "Plainly, that is the one who desires to inherit eternal life in the world to come. He must remove himself from evil and be upright in all he does. He must keep every positive commandment and with pure devotion, act justly without ulterior motives of personal gain, and his speech must be pure by speaking truth in his heart, as the pasuk says about Avram, 'And you found his heart faithful before you,' a pasuk that's found in Sefer Nehemiah. He that does not slander with his tongue," he does not speak slander even to himself, he does not say to himself, "That one is wicked," nor does evil to his fellow. Most people differ in temperament. which causes one man to cause grief to another, but this man does not cause evil to his fellow man. Having conquered his own nature, he foregoes his own wishes in favor of the other person, whom he treats with forbearance. Similarly, the scripture says about the valiant wife, as found in Mishlei, she pays him back with good and not evil all the days of her life. All the days of her life she was careful not to wrong him, even in such things as stem from differences of temperament. Not only has this man not done anything evil to his fellow man, but he has done nothing that even indirectly wronged anyone. He has done no evil to his fellow. It also says about Hashem that evil will not abide with you. This is going to be found in 2 Pesukim from now. So this man is rewarded measure for measure by being enabled to sojourn in your tent. Now corresponding to he speaks the truth in his heart, David says here, he does not slander with his tongue. This man will be careful not to speak, even if what he says is the truth, when that could be hurtful to another. Corresponding to he acts justly, David says, nor does he do evil to his fellow. Even when justice demands that the other fellow be paid back in kind for the wrong that he has done him, that man will not act to do evil, nor will he even shame another with words or rebuke, nor borne reproach upon his fellow, not even if the one who wronged him is Krovo, someone close, a kin or a friend, will he shame him with words of reproach. A subtle reading of the word regal, bearing the connotation of horegal, habitual conduct, yields the interpretation. The prayer of that person is not a rote use of his tongue. He prays with pious concentration of his thoughts and thus speaks truth in his heart. Some perceive an allusion to the law that if one overhears another person plotting to harm someone, he is under obligation to warn the potential victim. As it says in Chumash Devarim, you will not stand idly by the blood of your fellow. Similarly, it says that by the means of the Holy Spirit, the words of Esav, her oldest son, were told to Rivka, informing her that he was planning to murder Yaakov. Accordingly, David stresses here that this man does not slander with his tongue, but only when by his silence he does not do evil to his fellow, nor borne reproach upon his fellow or relation. This can be read properly in two ways. He does not himself wrong any person. He reproaches another person immediately upon seeing him commit a wrong, even if that person is a close relative. Another interpretation of the word korov kin says, if one commits evil deeds, his relatives are blamed that one such as he came out of their family. But one of upright conduct has not borne reproach upon his relation. Some paupers will approach a rich man as if they were his close relations and expect assistance. But some rich men, because they are very tight with their money, will be arrogant to these petitioners and even humiliate them. Accordingly, David says that a truly God-fearing man has not borne reproach upon those who pretend to be his relation. He is careful not to shame the needy. Pasuk Dalet. Nivze be'enov nimos ves yirei Hashem yechabet nishpa lahora velo yomir, in whose eyes a vile man is despised, but he honors them that fears Hashem. He that swears, and even to his own hurt, does not change it. Now David goes on to depict the traits of excellence of the perfected man. Although he walks uprightly and acts justly and speaks truth in his heart, he is not on this account marked by pride, but is vile in his own eyes and despised. He is profoundly convinced that he has not fulfilled even one part in a thousand of what he is under obligation to fulfill. As regards the deeds of others, however, he honors them that fears Hashem. Everything that they do appears impressive in his eyes, and he considers them more God-fearing than himself. The fact that he honors others shows that he views himself as vile and despised is not due to depression, that stem from genuine humility and the spirit of self-abasement. We find that King David fulfilled beautifully what he preached beautifully. Thus the scripture says that he was leaping and dancing with all his might in honor of the Torah, and then said to his wife, "And I will be yet more vile than thus. I will be base in my own eyes, as found in Sefer Shmuel base. How unbecoming it would be for a shepherd whom Hashem has elevated to kingship to be haughty." Similarly, David showed himself vile in his own eyes and despised. On that occasion when he said about himself, "But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people," Avram too said, "Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto Hashem. Who am I but dust and ashes?" Pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. Another reading of the pasuk says, "One who is vile and despised in the eyes of Hashem is also vile and despised in the eyes of the perfected man, but he who honors them that fears Hashem." It's common that when a man lives in such a dire need, that he is vile and despised in his own eyes, he will also be reviled and despised by his next of kin. As it says in Mishlei, "All the brethren of the poor do hate him." But the higher man of perfection does not bear reproach upon his relation, even when he is in such a state. A human being normally strives for three things: honor, pleasure, and wealth. Corresponding to the first, David says of the higher man that it is vile in his eyes and despised, but he honors other people, those who deserve to be honored, them that fear Hashem. Regarding pleasure, he says that the man swears to his own hurt by denying himself pleasure. Regarding wealth, he says, he that does not put out his money on interest to increase his wealth. The present pasuk teaches that honor be tendered to the righteous and to one's teachers no less than to one's parents. One must be in awe of them as one feels awe before parents. Thus the scripture records that Elisha called his teacher Eliyahu, my father, as found in Malachim Beis, just as he himself was called my father. According to the Talmud, Rav Shmuel would give honor to Mar Ukva so that the people would heed his decisions in law, and Mar Ukva honored Rav Shmuel in Torah matters. It is clear that one should not honor a Torah sage in a way that he does not desire. But he honors them that fears Hashem. When the perfected man sees in others a good deed, they appear great in his eyes. The Sefer Hasidim writes, "The root of humility is for a man to remove himself from any situation of eminence and esteem, and in everything to place another's name before his own. The sages of the house of Shammai and the sages of the house of Hillel would always mention the reasons for the ruling of the other side before giving the reasons for their ruling. When a student yeshiva thinks of a question, let him not open his mouth. If he hears another say something which he also knows, let him not jump into the middle of the other's words to announce what he knows. Let him be silent and hear the other one out, for it often happens that one then hears a new reason. As it is, what does he gain by showing off? To sum up, a person is required to do all that he will to lessen his own honor and increase the honor of those who are God-fearing. As it says here, he is vile in his own eyes and despised, but he honors them that fears Hashem. The double expression, vile, despised, is also reflected in the words of our sages who said, "Me'od, me'od, heve shval ruach," be very, very humble in spirit. He is vile in his own eyes and despised is set as an antidote to murder. For a man of humble spirit does not take part in quarrels. He will not then come to murder anyone, nor be murdered. This is alluded to in the teaching of our sages, "Keep darkness and live." Rashi explains, "Be humble and you will live. Make yourself black and lowly." Thus the Torah says in Sefanya, "Seek righteousness, seek humility." A man should say to himself, "When will this, the opportunity for self-abasement, come into my hand, so that I may fulfill it and my sins be forgiven? What need have I for self-flagellation that weaken my strength? I would rather mortify myself by suffering humiliations and insults at the hands of others. Has it become all the same to you? A pious man once said to his friend, "In what matter," asked the other, "have condemnation and praise become the same to you?" When the other answered in the negative, Tzaddik said, "In that case, you have not yet attained to the level of piety." He that swears even to his own hurt, for instance, a man swore an oath that he would fast, which thins the flesh, and he does not change, he does not fail to fulfill his oath. Or else he pledged money for charity, and he does not change his mind. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Kaspo lo nosan ben meshech v'shochad anoki lo lokoch osa eile lo yimot olam. He that does not put out his money on interest, nor takes a bribe against the innocent, he that does these things will never be moved, shaken. Previously, David said of the perfected man that he does no evil to his fellow man. He will not cheat or rob or steal from another. Now he says that this man will not take from another improperly, even if it's offered gladly, because paying interest is such a common practice, and men do not call it robbery. The Torah has been particularly stringent in forbidding this practice and repeatedly warns against it. The prophets, too, have spoken against it in harsh words. Accordingly, the scripture says here, speaking about the lender, that the righteous man does not put out his money on interest. Even if the borrower would gladly pay it, he refuses to accept it. Nor does the righteous judge take a bribe in order to rule against the innocent or to exonerate the guilty. A subtle reading yields the interpretation. When this man gives charity, he does not receive interest. He does not seek honor and renown for it. He gives anonymously, which is the essence of the mitzvah of charity. The sequence of verbs in this pasuk, the negative lo lokach nor takes a bribe, is followed by the positive osa eile, does these things, is cited as additional proof for the teaching of our sages that when one holds back and does not commit a sin, it is as if he fulfilled the positive commandments. Because he does not take a bribe, it is as if he does the opposite. The previous pasuk spoke of the righteous man that swears and stands by his oath. A man may take an oath to perform righteous deeds, but only if he has become imbued with the higher virtues listed in these psukim. Then he truly walks uprightly and acts justly. As it says, "You will fear Hashem your God, him you will serve, and to him you will cleave, and by his name you will swear," a pasuk that is found in Chumash Devarim. Now it is pointed out in connection with this part of the previous verse that swears and even to his own hurt does not change it. That is the Masoret text. The corresponding term for change it is spelled Yomar instead of Yomir. The word may thus possibly be associated to Mar, bitter. The corresponding interpretation says, the man of piety, notwithstanding that he swears to his own hurt by subjecting himself to self-flagellation and suffering, is not embittered and does not embitter the lives of others. He does not regard himself as the role suffering tzaddik on earth and the rest of the Jewish people as his inferiors. He that does these things will never be moved. The man who lends money without taking interest is certain never to lend with interest. To what can this be compared to? There were two wealthy men, one of whom made his fortune as a hard-working businessman, and the other inherited his wealth. When they were both to lose everything, the first one will not despair because he can regain it, but the second one will be very unhappy. Similarly here, the man who has toiled at perfecting his virtues will never be moved. The Medrash says, whenever Rabbi Gamliel came to the present verse, he wept. Is then anyone capable of doing all these excellent things, he said. But Rabbi Akiva would laugh whenever he read the verses in Yechezkel. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and had not eaten upon the mountains, neither had lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither had defiled his neighbor's wife, neither had come near to a woman in her impurity, and had not wronged any, but had restored his pledge for a debt, had taken nothing by robbery, had given his bread to the hungry, and had covered the naked with a garment, he that had not given forth upon interest, neither had he taken any increase, that had withdrawn his hand from iniquity, had executed true justice between man and man, and walked in my statutes, and had kept my ordinances to deal truly, he is just, he will surely live, says Hashem. Why do you laugh when I weep? Rabbi Gamliel asked him. Rabbi Akiva replied, behold what is written in the Torah about swarming creatures. These are they which are unclean to you among all the swarm. Whosoever does touch them when they are dead, and upon whatsoever any of them when they are dead do fall, it shall be unclean. It's a pasuk that is found in the Chumash Vayikra. Is it then possible that anyone who touches them shall not be unclean? Rather say that greater is the measure of good than the measure of affliction by 500-fold. If one who touches one of these, even if it be a piece as tiny as a lentil, is rendered unclean, as if he had touched all of these defiling creatures, shall it not assuredly be so in the measure of good, that if one has done even one of these excellent things, it is as if he performed all the mitzvahs? You have consoled me, Akiva, you have consoled me, Akiva, exclaimed Rabbi Gamliel. Now we go to Perek 16, Pasuk 1. Please turn tape over to side B. Chapter 16, Pasuk 1. Michtam le David shomreini el kichasis yivach. A michtam of David, protect me, Hashem, for I have taken refuge in you. In this psalm, King David speaks out against idol worshippers by contrasting the servant of Hashem and those who are drawn after nonsense. He gives thanks for having been set apart from those who live in error and confusion, and for the joy of having been enabled to set Hashem before me. Hashem is his source of gladness and secure feeling. Our sages teach, Michtam of David, his mach was tam, that is, he was born circumcised. Then again, Michtam says that David saw himself as lowly as mach, and insignificant and innocent as tam. His humility was genuine, for it did not arise out of a sense of pride, which is often the source of a false humility meant to fool people. He was michtam, humble, moch, and perfectly sincere, a tam. The scripture emphasizes, however, that even though David was truly humble and was marked by genuine innocence, he possessed all the excellent virtues mentioned earlier. There was innocence even in the way he kept himself humble, and he prayed that no offense or failure result from his reliance on Hashem. Protect me, O Hashem, for I have taken refuge in you. Some read Michtam as an allusion to Kesem Pasuk, finest gold, as Pasuk that's found in Shir HaShir, namely an allusion to the crown of David. That is to say, the present psalm was composed on occasion when the crown of kingship was placed on his head. At his coronation, he demonstrated his deep humility by declaring that royal power was vested in him not on account of any greatness on his part, but as an act of divine grace and love. Accordingly, he goes on to say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places for kingship. There were men of great piety in his generation whom he considered as more deserving of the crown. Another interpretation says that the word michtam identifies the present verse or psalm as a favorite saying of David. It was like a pearl in his mouth. It is usual for every sage to have a favorite passage or saying to which he keeps returning again and again. And this michtam simply graced David's speech like a nugget of the finest gold. In the composition of this psalm, David achieved a state of joyfulness, as it says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, for you will not abandon my soul in Sheol." That is, in the pit of depression. So it became for him the crown of all psalms. According to the Medrash, David says about himself, "I am michta." To what can this be compared? A traveler entered an inn and saw some of the people eating fish and others eating meat. As he had only two small Easter coins on him, for a moment he stood perplexed. "If I order a simple meal, the innkeeper will straightaway serve me the very expensive fish which I cannot afford." So instead he said, "Give me two Easter coins worth of food." When the other then asked, "What shall I serve you for the two Issas?" the traveler replied, "Haven't you heard the maxim, dance to the music of the coins in your pocket?" Similarly, David said, "It is not for me to sit with the greatest men. I will wait with the humble people. Let Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov dwell in the great resort, and let Moshe and Aaron dwell in the palace. I will sit on the doorstep." Thus it says, "I had rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God, and if I cannot sit on the doorstep, than in the courts of Hashem's house. And if I cannot sit in the courtyard, I will not exit from the inn, but be in the midst of you, O Yerushalayim. Hallelujah." Pasuk base. Omar Lashem Adonai Oto Tavosi Balalecha. That's Pasuk 2. "I have said to Hashem, you are my Shem. I have no good but in you." To the saintly ones that are upon the earth, and they are the mighty ones in whom is all my delight. David turns to his soul and says, "You said to Hashem, you my soul must say to Hashem, I have no good but in you. The good things that you extend to me do not come from you as my just reward, for it is not on account of my righteousness that you benefit me. It is due to the saintly ones that are upon the earth. You act on account of the saintly ones who are the mighty ones of the earth that walk before you in truth. They are the mighty ones in whom all is my delight and on whose account all my deeds are cared for. I have no good but in you. I am not an obligation upon you, for I am not as deserving as the saintly ones that are upon the earth." Another interpretation says, "You have said to Hashem, you are my Hashem. You, my soul, have already acknowledged that Hashem is your God. So you must continue to thank Him even if He does not bestow His beneficence upon you." As Rav Shlomo HaSfardi has said in this prayer, "Hinachloch loli ani omed lefenecha ulishem kovoycho lolishmi kulasi. Lo, it is for you and not for me that I stand before you. It is for your glory and not for myself that I act. I have no good but in you. You do not bestow your beneficence upon me as an obligation. You benefit me out of loving kindness. So let a man first think of all the good that Hashem has already bestowed upon him, and only then ask him to provide for his present needs. Then again, these verses say, the good that you bestow upon me comes in the merit of the saintly patriarchs. They are the mighty ones. In their perfection, in their merit, I can have my every wish fulfilled." The Medrash says on the words, "V'adirei kol chetibam," like we have in our pasuk, refers to the Talmidei Chachamim who know the preciousness of the Torah. Alternatively, it refers to the Jewish people who are Hashem's desired possession and who delight in fulfilling the mitzvahs. Another interpretation says, "Omart Lashem," David said to Hashem, "Master of the world, although I'm king, you are my Lord. I have made you king over me." Hashem answered him, "I have no good in you. I am not beholden to you for the good. To whom am I beholden? To the saintly ones that are in the earth. Hashem does not call the righteous saintly until the day that they die and their bodies are placed inside the earth. Because the evil impulse perpetually incites men so long as they remain in this world, Hashem does not believe in their rectitude till the day they die. Thus Shlomo said, for there is not a righteous man upon the earth that does good and sins not, a pasuk that's found in Koheles. By the way, if anybody's interested, the entire Koheles has been translated and put on tape or CD, so if anybody wants it, that's the one from Amlois, for the parish of Amlois. A man is not called saintly so long as he is upon the earth, but only after he is placed inside the earth. Accordingly, David says here, although I am a king, I have been given free will to rule over myself. You are my Hashem. I have no good but in you. I still need someone to watch over me. So Hashem answers, indeed, that is so. For a man cannot be certain of his righteousness until the day of his death. Some read, Tovosi balalecha, as my good is not upon you. The obligation to follow the path of doing the right thing is placed in my hand, for man has been given the freedom to choose. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Yevu asvoisam acher mohoru bal asik niskehim midam uval esa as shemosam al sfosoi. Many are the sorrows of those who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names upon my lips. May sorrows increase for those who deny Hashem and direct their zeal to the worship of any heathen deity. I will not emulate them. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer. I will not sprinkle blood upon the idol, nor will I even bring upon my lips the names of the idols. Instead, I will cleave to the saintly ones and the mighty ones. As we learned in the previous pasuk, I will not be like those who hasten after other men whose ways are not the ways of Hashem. I will not pour libations that are like their libations, which are stolen goods and not wine but blood. I will not even mention their names. A different interpretation says, because of their haste, acham horu, they magnify their distress, yirbu asvoisim. As the sage has wisely said, the fruit of haste is regret. A subtle reading says, some people are despondent, yirbu asvoisim, even when they have all they need for today, because they worry about tomorrow, acham mohoru. That is, they hasten to think what will be later, achar. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Hashem benos chelki v'chosi ato tomech goroli. O Hashem, the portion of my inheritance is of my cup, you maintain my lot. David gives thanks for the goodly portion that is his. He acknowledges his splendid inheritance, that is Hashem, who is the inheritance of the Jewish people. So the lines have fallen for him in pleasant places, like we'll learn in the next pasuk. Hashem is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup, in that all my good things stem from Him. Some interpret the word kosi as my reckoning, as in you make your account, to chosu of the sheep. The pasuk is found in Chumash Shemos. The singer says further, I have no other portion except Him, even as other men have as their portion of possession the silver and gold and pleasures of this world. O Hashem, the portion of my inheritance and of my cup, you maintain my lot. You have helped me by making me choose this portion for myself, as our sages have taught. When one comes to be purified, he is helped. In a literal sense, the scripture begins by speaking of only a portion in Hashem, which pertains to the person before he has attained perfection. He only acquires the other portion by divine help. Thus it says here, at first Hashem is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup, afterwards you maintain my lot. The Medrash says, O Hashem, the portion of my inheritance and of my cup, said Rabbo in the name of Rav Yochanan, compare it to a king who traveled across the land accompanied by his dukes and ministers. When they arrived in the central part of the country, all the dignitaries there vied with one another to host members of the king's retinue. One said, I will take the dukes, and another said, I will take the pashas, and the third said, I will take the military commanders, but there was a wise man among them who said, I will take the king himself. All the others come and go. They are always being replaced, but the king is never replaced. The situation is similar regarding the nations of the world. Some worship the sun, others pay homage to the moon, still others bow down to the trees and stones, but Israel serves no one except Hashem. As it says, Hashem is my portion, set my soul. Pasuk is found in Eicha. For I proclaim his oneness twice each day when I say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Lakein, Hashem Achad. Pasuk is found basically in Chumash Devarim. You maintain my lot, says David, like a father who takes hold of his son's hand and directs him to the winning lottery. Take this one, he tells him. So have you said to me. Ask of me, and I will give the nations as your inheritance. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Chavolim naflu li ban imim af nachla shafo oloi. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have goodly heritage. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places when it fell to my lot that I was to be in your portion. This measure is pleasant to me. Such a heritage is for me a great good. I was content with my portion. I was not envious of the portion of others. Another interpretation is based on the similarity of the word havolim to kivolim, chains and constraints, and the older meaning of havolim as afflictions, hurts, or injuries. David HaMelech says, even the fetters and the afflictions that had fallen to me as my portion from the hand of Hashem were sweet and pleasant to me. I accepted them with gladness, yes, even when I fell ill, wholly linked to nachlas. The illness was pleasant and splendid to me, as one who receives a fine gift which he proudly shows before others. So I delighted with pleasure my sufferings, for I knew that they were all for my benefit. This attitude of acceptance and gratitude is an aspect of Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying the name of Hashem. Accepting in good grace material privation and bodily affliction is conductive to atonement for sin. Thus our sages teach that when David fled from Sheol and came to Nob, as found in Shmuel Aleph, he was overcome with mania, and when he sent a delegation to Nob for provisions, he was suffering from hunger. Concerning those afflictions, he says here, the lines, the afflictions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Even being stricken with leprosy, machla, here linked to nachlas, as we find in Yirmiyahu, the pasuk there says, nachla mechti, was to him a goodly heritage. The man who has so disciplined himself will, when the occasion arises, give up his life for the sanctification of Hashem's name, and he will rejoice at the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah. Some indeed read this part of the pasuk accordingly, af nachlas, even if my illness was in wrath and fury, shafra olai, it was beautiful to me. Now chavolim also means portions, and David says, my spiritual pleasures are pleasant to me, and also my physical possessions, nachlas, which are passed on from father to son, are a goodly heritage. I am content with my portion, and do not seek an overabundance of possessions. Based on the meaning of chavolim as injuries and afflictions, there is also the following interpretation. David says, my troubles that stem from the living in the land of Israel are pleasant in my eyes. Thus the sages teach that possession of the land of Israel cannot be acquired except through suffering. These afflictions are the altar of atonement. Similarly, it is noted that the words Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, have the same numerical value as the word taste lev, give a heart. When a man gives his heart to the land of Eretz Yisrael with all his might, Hashem brings him success. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Avorech es Hashem, Asher Yatzani, Aflelos Yisruni Chadyosai. I will bless Hashem who has given me counsel. Yes, in the night, seasons, my reins instruct me. I will bless Hashem who has given me counsel. I will also bless Hashem for having counseled me and helped me to choose this goodly portion for myself. I myself, my own inward parts, will instruct me not to abandon this path, for I would cling to it with all my might. A appropriately, David speaks of the nights when a person isolates himself from the affairs of this world and his heart is open to contemplation. Hashem has given me counsel, as it says in Devarim, and you will choose life. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8, Shevisi Hashem Linegdi Samid Kimimini Bal Emot. I have set Hashem always before me. Surely He is at my right hand, I will not be moved. The singer proclaims, I have set Hashem always before me, in everything I do, I have put all of Him before my eyes. Why? Surely He is at my right hand, I will not be moved. Hashem is always on my right on account of the Torah that was given at His right hand, Pasuk Chumash Devarim, and therefore I will not be moved, shaken. I remember Hashem in all my ways, even as a man who keeps something before him and does not remove it from before his eyes and from his heart, so has the glory of Hashem not moved from before me. David says further, just as I cannot be proud when I see Hashem always before me, how can I be proud of my royal dominion, which is as a grain of sand compared to the majesty of the supernal order? Surely He is at my right hand, I will not be moved. He is as my right hand, and a man does not forget his right hand, even for so short an instant as it takes to blink an eye. I have set Hashem always before me. Accordingly, the Medrash teaches that during prayer, one is to conduct himself as if the Shekhinah were standing before him. Actually, this rule applies more generally and at all times. Thus, the Tur begins his Sefer by declaring, this is a great general principle of the Torah, and one of the traits of excellence of righteous men, that they always walk in the presence of Hashem. For the way a man usually sits down or moves or conducts his affairs is different than the way he sits down or moves or conducts his affairs when he is before a great king. Nor is this manner of speech and what he says the same when he is among members of his household and his relatives, as his manner of speech with emissaries of the king. So it assuredly is so when a man takes into his heart that the great king Hashem, blessed be he, that the whole earth is filled with his glory. It's a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Stands over him and sees his deeds. As it says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says Hashem. Do I not fill heaven and earth, says Hashem, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. When a man acquires this awesome awareness, he is immediately overtaken by fear and submission and dread before Hashem, and he is always shamefaced before him. So let him not be ashamed before men who ridicule him when he serves Hashem, nor in his private affairs, and when lying down on his couch, he is to know before whom he lies down. The moment he wakes from his sleep, let him rise with a quick readiness to serve his Creator, the High and Exalted One. Accordingly, we recite in our prayers, Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha, our Father, our King, we have sinned before you. How arrogant we were to have sinned in your presence when you stand before us and see everything. This pasuk says the opposite of what the scripture says about proud and violent men. O Hashem, the proud have risen up against me, and the company of violent men have sought after my soul. Had they set you before themselves, they would be ashamed and afraid to perpetuate this evil. They could not be seeking my life and my soul. I have set Hashem always before me. On the basis of this verse and all benedictions, we pronounce the name of Hashem in the second person singular. We say, Blessed are you, Hashem. Then we revert to the remote third person singular who has commanded us. I have set Hashem always before me is to be assured that from my right hand I will not be moved. That is, I would not pass from the side of the good inclination, which is called the right, to the evil impulse, which is called the left. Acts of spiritual significance are associated with the right side. As it says, the heart, understanding of a wise man is to his right, and the heart of a fool is to his left, a pasuk that's found in Kehelis. That is to say, even when the wise man is involved in practical matters of the earth, his purpose is to the right, to acquire possession of the true perfections. One who conducts himself in this manner serves Hashem at all times, even in matters of the body. Thus our sages teach, and you will love Hashem your God with all your heart, Levavcha, with both your impulses. Note the double letter base in Levavcha. Accordingly, David says here, I have set Hashem always before me, also when I was involved in material activities, because he is at my right hand, I will not be moved to the left-handed way. I have set Hashem always before me. One must imagine that Hashem always literally stands before him, face to face, and not only during prayer. At the conclusion of the Shemoneh Esrei prayer, when stepping back the required 3 steps, one inclines the head first to the left side, corresponding to the right side of Hashem facing him, and then to the right. Here David confirms that he's always done this. For he is at my right hand, and I would not be moved. I have nothing to fear from the right, the good inclination, but I do fear the heart, which is on the left side. That is, I must be on guard against an improper thought. I have set the Lord always before me. When the passions of the body urge me to stray from before Hashem, I set the Lord before me by keeping his commandments. They are the bulwark against the passions of my body, and they command me to act in opposition to my wants. For when I evaluate the ones against the others, I set aside my will before the will of Hashem. As a result, I then journey on towards the south. That is, to the right side, the person faces east, which is the side of holiness and saintliness. When I face Hashem, his right side is to my left, the location of the evil inclination, and he thus helps me to overcome it. Do you want to say that it would be better if he were on my right side? Not so.
Since at my right
side, right hand, I will not be moved. My good inclination, which is at my right hand, always counsels me to do good. Another interpretation says, when I set Hashem before my eyes always, and he's at my right hand, I will not be moved. That is to say, no alien thought will ever enter my heart. Accordingly, David goes on to say, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you, O Hashem, my rock and my redeemer, for then I will have no alien thought at all. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Lochein samach libi veyogel kavodi af v'sori yishkol nevetach. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, my flesh also dwells secure. Because I've set you always before me, King David says, my heart is glad, my reason is content, and my glory, my soul rejoices. For I am certain that after the soul separates from the body, it will cleave to her Creator. My flesh also dwells secure, for you save me from all harm. Our sages have inferred further. David meant to say that his body will not be touched by worms after his death. In another sense, this is understood to mean that proper use of the intellect also sustains the body. The scripture mentions here 3 kinds of benefits. One is gladness of the heart. When a man liberates himself from enslavement to his passions, his heart reason is glad, for he is now free of constant inner struggle. 2, my glory rejoices. The soul, which always wants to stay pure, now rejoices. 3, my flesh also dwells in peace. One who is a slave to his passions causes his body to deteriorate. It is otherwise if one is free of this enslavement. Pasuk Yud. Pasuk 10. Kiloi sazoif nashi lish oil loisitein chasit chalirwa shachas. For you will not abandon my soul in Sheol, nor will you give your pious ones to see the pit. Why do you, my soul, rejoice, like in the previous pasuk? For you will not abandon my soul in Sheol. You, my soul, will not die and be lost. David says, I am certain that you will not abandon my soul in Sheol, for you promised me that Hashem also has put away your sin. Pasuk that's found in Shmuel Beis. So you will also not abandon me now and in the future. David also explains why he said that now I will bless Hashem, who has given me counsel. for his purpose had been not to abandon my soul in Sheol, Hashem will keep me from embarking on the way of wickedness that leads to Sheol, and thus spare your pious one from seeing the pit. You will not abandon my soul in Sheol, but cause my soul glory to rejoice. This stands in contrast to what the Torah says, because you did not serve Hashem your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, a pasuk is found in the Chumash Devarim, the perfect way of serving Hashem is with joy and a glad heart. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Tori Eini Orachayim Sovas Semachos Esbanecha Ne'imos Mimincha Netzach. You make me know the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever. Through prayer, David asks Hashem to make me know the path of life. Let him show me how to earn eternal life in the world to come. Let my soul merit the fullness of joy and the supernal pleasures that go on without pause forever and ever. According to Rashi, however, Tori Eini does not signify a prayer, but an affirmation for the future. You will make me know. In the future, Hashem will give him that joy which is without end and without pause. This joy in the world to come belongs to the select few who are closest to him. In the present pasuk, David explains the differences between the true life of the soul and the life of illusion. One difference is that life in your presence is fullness of joy. The joy that a man experiences in this temporary existence is not the fullness of joyous satisfaction, for the end of mirth is gloom, a pasuk is found in Mishle. But in the life of soul, there is fullness of joy due to the shine of your presence, the Shekhinah, the divine glory. 2. Every physical pleasure comes to an end. It is not everlasting. This is not so regarding spiritual pleasure. At your right hand are pleasures forever. 3. Life in this world is a life of pain and sorrow. No joy is complete, and close to every joy there is sorrow. Like night follows day, but of the world to come it is said that the joy is in his dwelling. It is customary to recite the present psalm in the house of mourning, for it expresses belief in and anticipation of life in the world to come. There is also a custom to recite it prior to the evening service at the conclusion of the Shabbos, for the Shabbos is regarded as a taste of the world to come. We will continue Mirtu Shem in our next shir. We are learning Sefer Tehillim with the commentary by Imam Loez by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 7. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 14, Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Atzas Oni Tzavishu Ki Hashem Machsehu. You shame the counsel of the poor and helpless, for Hashem is his refuge. You humiliate and you ridicule the Jewish people for their trust in Hashem, for having sought their refuge in him. A subtle reading yields the interpretation. The pauper takes counsel within his heart. He makes up his mind to go beg for pennies, but the people refuse to give him anything. May Hashem give you, they say to him. By this advice of theirs, that is that Hashem be his refuge. They shame the counsel of the poor. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Mi yitei mitzion Yeshuas Yisrael b'shuv Hashem shavus amo yogel Yaakov Yismach Yisrael. Oh, that the deliverance of Israel might come out of Zion. When Hashem turns back the captivity of his people, Yaakov will rejoice, Israel will be glad. The singer cries out, oh, that the deliverance of Israel might come out of Zion. Then all those who oppose them will recognize the great merit and perfection of the counsel of the poor, Israel, namely that Hashem is his refuge. They will then go about shamefaced for having ridiculed Israel earlier. It is indicated that the deliverance of Israel will come about out of perfection, Zion. That is on account of their righteous deeds. Similarly, the scripture says, Hashem will support you out of Zion, that is due to the good deeds within you. However, even when Hashem turns back the captivity of his people, rather than on account of your merit, then too, Yaakov will rejoice, Israel will be glad, as it says, when Hashem brought back those who returned to Zion. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. It's pointed out that David offers a prayer for the redemption to come at a time when the generation is wholly meritorious, that is due to the righteous deeds of the people. Then it will be marked by gladness and joy. But if it comes when the generation is wholly guilty, then many will be punished. Thus he says, oh, that the deliverance of Israel might come out of Zion. For when Hashem turns back the captivity of his people, Yaakov will rejoice, Israel will be glad. The process of redemption will then itself be a time of gladness and rejoicing for Israel. The Medrash teaches that all the blessings and consolations and good things that Hashem bestows upon the Jewish people are all from Zion. Torah is from Zion, blessing is from Zion, feasting is from Zion, greatness is from Zion, and salvation is from Zion. Now we go to Perek Tesva, Perek 15. Pasuk 1. Mizmor le David Hashem miyogu ba'alecho miyishkon bahar kachecho. A psalm of David, Lord, who will sojourn in your tent and tabernacle? Who will dwell upon the mountain of your sanctuary? Having rebuked and condemned the workers of iniquity in the previous psalm, and proclaimed that Hashem extends his protective supervision over the righteous man in every generation, the singer now depicts the virtues of this righteous man. Moreover, his intention is to contrast the villain and the tzaddik, who is complete in many perfections of character and good works and faith in Hashem. David saying, oh, that the deliverance of Israel might come out of Zion. Now he says that even when the Jewish people are in exile and there is no more Beis HaMikdash below, they can come into possession of the Beis HaMikdash on high through good works and by adhering to the true principles of faith. Accordingly, he goes on to list all the fine virtues, but does not speak of sacrificial offerings or of mitzvahs that can only be kept in the land of Eretz Yisrael. What are the virtues of the perfected man whereby he merits to behold the splendor of Hashem and to visit early in his temple? According to our Chachamim, our sages, and the 11 things listed in the present psalm are encompassed all the 613 mitzvahs. It was not, however, David's intention to change or take away from the actual number of mitzvahs, but to teach sense to the people. Should they object that there are far too many mitzvahs in the Torah and they cannot all be kept, they can be told to perfect themselves in these 11 perfections. Then they will easily be able to keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah by faithfully and zealously adhering to these great branches of the tree of life, that is the Torah. He will then also come to all the little branches that are drawn after the large branches. Indeed, it is pointed out that this psalm encompasses most aspects of the Torah. Thus, he that walks uprightly includes a number of negative commandments prohibiting sorcery, charming, consulting a ghost or familiar spirit. As it says in Chumash Devarim, you will be wholehearted with Hashem your God. In a more directly physical sense, this also refers to the prohibition to misuse the reproductive organs. Thus, tamim here means physically complete. Acts justly encompasses all the positive mitzvahs of the Torah, while speaks truth in his heart, specifically includes the mitzvahs that are fulfilled through thought. He that does not slander with his tongue refers to the prohibitions related to speech, nor does evil to his fellow, applies to almost the entire Torah, because as Hillel said, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. It includes all the commandments that are between man and man. The laws of oaths and pledges are encompassed in the pasuk. He that swears and even to his own hurt does not change. The law pertaining to the prohibition of usury of interest is spelled out in pasuk 5, while the laws of judges and the laws to honor parents and Torah sages are included in this pasuk, in whose eyes a vile man is despised, but he honors them that fears Hashem. Then we have, who will sojourn in your tent? To sojourn, yagur, means to take up temporary residence. Compared to the everlasting life in the world to come, our life here is a temporary affair. Who will dwell upon the mountain of your sanctuary refers to the life in the world to come. Hence the term yishkon, will dwell permanently. This world is called a tent because the heavens envelope the earth and everything in it like a tent. As it says, he stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Then again, all things that are above the heavens are called a mountain, just as actual mountains are higher than flatlands. And it is not possible to attain to the world to come if one opts instead for the good life of this world. He says, who will sojourn in your tent? Who will dwell upon the mountain of your sanctuary? That is to say, David makes it clear that there must be no contradiction between the life of this world and the life in the world to come, which requires that one make this world like a temporary tent and the world to come like a mountain. Another reason that the Torah calls the lofty plane of existence the mountain of your sanctuary is that anyone who wants to reach that high level must climb and continue to climb towards the high mountain. Pasuk base, pasuk 2. Hoylech tamim ufoyel tzedek edoiver emes bilbavu. He that walks uprightly and acts justly and speaks truth in his heart. He that walks uprightly in his views and beliefs contrasts with the way of those thinkers who keep changing their views, one stepping here and then stepping there. Similarly, it says, I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. It's found later on in Tehillim. David speaks first about perfecting one's views, which is the foundation for perfecting one's virtues. And acts justly pertains to perfection of one's deeds by practicing the virtues of visiting the sick, burying the dead, giving charity to the poor and the destitute, and so forth. The third perfection is the perfection of speech, and speaks truth in his heart. He does not say one thing with the mouth while thinking something else with the heart. In contrast with the villain, which we learned in the previous chapter, who follows the path of philosophical inquiry, this man walks uprightly. Nor does the villain do what is right, act justly, and he does not speak truth in his heart. Rather, he has said in his heart, there is no God. He walks uprightly in that he does not lust for anything beyond what he already has, so he lacks nothing. He acts justly. He is not simply content with his own just deeds, but acts to cause others to be just in their deeds. He speaks truth in his heart before uttering the truth with his lips. More, he ponders carefully whether to say what he thinks, even if it is the truth. For at times, by speaking the truth, one can cause anguish to another person. Another interpretation says, when a person speaks truth in his heart, an angel is appointed to watch over him, that he should also speak the truth with his mouth. Concerning speaks the truth in his heart, our sages relate the following episode involving Rav Safra. One day he offered a donkey for sale, and a buyer came just when he was reciting the Shema, and interruptions are not permitted. the would-be buyer offered the price, but received no response to his offer. Assuming that Rav Safra's silence meant that he asked a higher price, he upped his bid, but still received no response. Finally, when Rav Safra concluded the Shema, he said to the man, "I had already accepted to sell to you for the first sum that you mentioned, and I will not take any more." A story. Once Rav Safra went for a stroll beyond the city together with his students, and there met a pious man who was coming from far away. He thought that Rav Safra had come out specially to welcome him, so he protested, "Why has my master so exerted himself?" said Rav Safra. "It was not my intention to come to greet you. I only came out for a stroll." The pious man was embarrassed. Later, his disciple said to Rav Safra, "Why did you speak to him as you did?" He answered, "To do otherwise would have been a lie." But they persisted, "You should have kept silence." He said to them, "Had I been silent, I would not have fulfilled of the words, 'He speaks truth in his heart.'" Now, the word po'el is also read literally as a noun meaning a worker. Accordingly, the pasuk is interpreted as follows: "He acts justly and speaks truth in his heart." It is usual for people who work for a living to expect others to provide for the poor. "Had I the means," they say, "I would give him such and such a sum." In this case, the man is not exaggerating, but speaks the truth. The singer, referring to David Melech, mentions three kinds of virtues. One pertains to matters that are between a man and his maker, where he walks uprightly. As the pasuk says in Chumash Devarim, "You will be wholehearted with Hashem your God." And two, when a man acts justly and charitably in matters between one man and another. Three, he speaks truth in his heart. This pertains to matters between a man and himself. From when one does not match his words to his thoughts, he commits a falsehood in his soul, and his conduct is unjust in relation to himself. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. He that does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his fellow, nor borne reproach upon his fellow. In the previous pasuk, David mentioned three positive virtues of the perfected man in the realm of action. Now he continues with three corresponding evils that this perfected man has avoided. Corresponding to "he speaks truth in his heart," he says, "He does not slander with his tongue." Corresponding to "he acts justly," he says, "Nor borne reproach upon his fellows." The righteous man has not acted cunningly towards those close to him, whether relative or friend. In the first pasuk of this paragraph, it says, "Who will sojourn in your tent?" David asks, Hashem. The Holy Spirit in him answers, plainly, that is the one who desires to inherit eternal life in the world to come. He must remove himself from evil and be upright in all he does. He must keep every positive commandment and with pure devotion, act justly without ulterior motives of personal gain, and his speech must be pure by speaking truth in his heart, as the pasuk says about Avram, "And you found his heart faithful before you," a pasuk that's found in Sefer Nehemiah. He that does not slander with his tongue, he does not speak slander even to himself, he does not say to himself, "That one is wicked," nor does evil to his fellow. Most people differ in temperament, which causes one man to cause grief to another, but this man does not cause evil to his fellow man. Having conquered his own nature, he foregoes his own wishes in favor of the other person, whom he treats with forbearance. Similarly, the scripture says about the valiant wife, as found in Mishlei, she pays him back with good and not evil all the days of her life. All the days of her life she was careful not to wrong him, even in such things as stem from differences of temperament. Not only has this man not done anything evil to his fellow man, but he has done nothing that even indirectly wronged anyone. He has done no evil to his fellow. It also says about Hashem that evil will not abide with you. This is going to be found in two psukim from now. So this man is rewarded measure for measure by being enabled to sojourn in your tent. Now, corresponding to he speaks the truth in his heart, David says here, he does not slander with his tongue. This man will be careful not to speak, even if what he says is the truth, when that could be hurtful to another. Corresponding to he acts justly, David says, nor does he do evil to his fellow. Even when justice demands that the other fellow be paid back in kind for the wrong that he has done him, that man will